Page 24. The Road to Accessible Moviegoing by James Forbes, President Humboldt Council of the Blind. Editor's note, in the awards article in this issue, you will learn that at our CCB conference convention, the Humboldt Council of the Blind received a chapter award for the efforts which James describes in this article. Kudos to HCB. It just goes to show what a chapter can do when its members take on a challenge. Page 25. In August of 2008, we at the Humboldt Council of the Blind decided at our monthly meeting that we would construct a letter to Coming Attractions Theaters, located in Ashland, Oregon, asking them to install audio narration, closed caption devices, at their location in Eureka. Coming Attractions had recently purchased all of the movie theaters in Humboldt County. We decided that the Eureka location was the most centrally located for everyone. This technology had been around for a few years, but was still a bit more expensive to purchase and install than it is currently. At the time, Mopex quoted us a cost of around $8,000 for one screen, and the current cost, through Do-Re-Mi Labs, is around $1,235 for the same one screen. We all worked on constructing the letter, and we sent it off to the company. An employee named Julie, the VP in charge of operations at the time, contacted us and told us that they were discussing the possibility. Page 26. In our letter, we offered to promote the devices, and we also even offered to do fundraising to raise up to half of the needed funding for the project. Well, months passed, and we had several emails back and forth, and suddenly, Julie was no longer with the company. I would call them up and would get the runaround, and finally was connected with a new employee. After months of emails and phone calls, that employee was no longer with the company. This back and forth went on for several years and five different employees. During all of this, we did perform fundraising with the intent of assisting in funding the project. For example, I put together our first HCB benefit compilation CD titled Making Blindness Fashionable. It consisted of over 20 local bands and artists who each offered up a song for the CD. We sold it at local record stores and at our annual benefit concert. We sold them all and made a profit of almost $600. Through all of this, we still did not see any action on the part of Coming Attractions. Sometime in 2011, I called the theater's office in Ashland and spoke to the wonderful receptionist who said to me, "Oh, it's you again. You just don't give up, do you?" I asked to speak to the president of the company, Mr. John Schweiger. She said she would give him the message and he would call me back if he chose to do so. Page 27. He never did, and further phone calls were greeted with the same tone. So I decided to bypass the receptionist and go through their phone tree. I typed the first letters of the president's name and was connected to his direct line. It's not rocket science. When he picked up the phone, he seemed amazed that I was able to locate his direct line. Again, not rocket science. This began our back and forth that lasted until early 2013. He was not a nice person and gave me the same verbiage we are all used to hearing. His responses were, "The ADA doesn't regulate our industry, and we'll get around to it when we are able to do so." During this time, we at the HCB would write letters to local papers about our efforts. I was on Humboldt State University radio station and was interviewed about audio narration, since so many do not know about the technology. I talked about our efforts and how people could help. That summer, the council held public education events, where we would gather in front of different theaters or at monthly local events, like Arts Alive in Eureka. We would have a table with pamphlets we created and printed. We handed out the information brochures, and we had letters of support that people could sign. We ended up with hundreds of these letters, and we mailed them to Coming Attractions office in Oregon. We received no response from the company. Page 28. This did become discouraging at times, but we kept pushing. We offered to assist in funding, then rescinded our offer eventually. We presented the venture as a business model which could bring in an unrealized revenue stream that would ensure that the installation would eventually pay for itself. All this time passes, and the cost of the devices kept decreasing. All of these points were made over and over again to various employees and to the president. They still would not act. The relationship between myself and the president of the company did become contentious at times. I can't always be nice. In 2012, the president did tell me that they had a demo of a system that they were attempting to install, but the technology wasn't good and it just didn't work. He wouldn't tell me where the device came from, but I asked the right questions and found out for myself that they bought the equipment through American Cinema Equipment, ACE, and that the DVS-CC system was manufactured by Ultrasound Labs Incorporated, USL. I called USL and spoke to a salesperson. She told me that the system was sent out as a demo and that the company was not obligated to pay for it until it was installed and was working. Coming Attractions kept the system for 8 months and finally returned it to USL, stating that it wouldn't work. Page 29. They received a second system from USL, kept it for 8 months, and then returned it again. Through all of this time, from 2012 to 2013, I was in contact with USL and ACE. I was told repeatedly that Coming Attractions would need to have a person from one of the companies walk them through the installation process. I was also told that no one from Coming Attractions ever requested any assistance. Coming Attractions told me a different story, but that is standard operating procedures for them. In late 2012, I began discussions with a well-known law firm in hopes that they would represent the HCB in taking legal action against the company. Eventually, I was told that Coming Attractions was too small and that representation was probably not going to happen. They did assist me in other ways, such as drafting further letters and using legally specific language. We still did not get the desired results. I tried other legal advocacy groups, but none would take our case. Finally, in 2013, I wrote to Donna and explained our dilemma. She said that she had an idea, and she connected me with Margie Donovan. Margie had run into the same type of discrimination and subsequent difficulty in acquiring legal representation. She had developed her own method, and she shared it with me. Page 30. When she would go to a business that had inaccessible features associated with being able to independently fulfill her needs, she would then write a letter to the company alerting them to the fact that they were violating her civil rights under California Civil Code Section 51F, the Unruh Act. She would request a remedy, and when the company in question did not act on her letter, then she would file an action in small claims court. She was successful in her efforts, and the businesses in question would eventually install the required and necessary accommodations, such as accessible point-of-sale machines. She suggested that I use the same method with respect to Coming Attractions. I have since deemed this guerrilla advocacy, because talk minus action equals zero. So in June of 2013, my youngest son and I took our now yearly visit to the Broadway cinemas in Eureka to see a film on Father's Day. I stopped going to the movies a few years ago except for on this day. The hassle of having him try to narrate the film while fighting the loud sound of the film and the constant shushing from other patrons became too much of a problem and could also become contentious at times. I don't mind a good fight, discussion, but this is not the place for it. After we attended the film in June, I wrote a letter to Coming Attractions and let them know that my civil rights were violated and that I would require a financial remedy due to the fact that they did not offer audio narration at their theater. Page 31. I received a response close to a month later from their lawyers. The letter was poorly written and offered me the same old stance. These laws do not regulate our industry. The letter even stated that there are many aspects of going to the movies that I could still enjoy, such as social interactions, snacks, and even video games. This lawyer obviously has no clue. So I then wrote a second letter in rebuttal to their response. I made my case and stood my ground and let them know, under no uncertain terms, that I would be filing a lawsuit in small claims court soon. I received a second response. The letter contained the same stance. In both letters from the lawyer representing Coming Attractions, they did state that, while they did not believe that they were legally bound to do so, they would be attempting to install the accommodations which were requested. I would call the theater and ask the manager if there were headphones for audio narration, and they would always say no. I finally went to the courthouse in Eureka in early January 2014, 6 months after my visit to the theater in June, and filed a suit in small claims court, citing a violation of the Unruh Act. Page 32. Coming Attractions was served notification of the suit on January 27, 2014, and 2 days later, on the 29th of January, I received an email from the president of the company, my first in almost a year. The email stated that he was happy to report that the Broadway cinemas in Eureka now were equipped with audio narration and closed captioning systems. He referred me to their new COO and told me to call this person so he could personally accompany me to the theater. I don't want or need to be accompanied to the movies by an employee, so I waited until there was a film in Theater 1, the only screen in the 12-screen theater with the new accommodations, that I actually wanted to see. My family went to the movies together 2 weeks later to see RoboCop. This was not my first choice, but was more appealing than the Lego movie in 3D. The next day, on Margie's prompting, I sent an email to the president of the company, thanking him for the monumental step that his company had taken. I also told him that the case would still be heard in February and that I await the day that I could choose to see any movie of my choice, like other sighted patrons, as opposed to only having one choice of viewing pleasure. The next day I called the theater to ask which film would be playing in Theater 1 starting on the following Friday. The manager told me that they would be rotating 3 different films through Theater 1. Page 33. He also told me that I or anyone else could request to view a specific film with 24 hours notice, and they would move that film into Theater 1. This was the president's way of accommodating my newest request to have the ability to view any of the 12 films they offered in any single week. On February 26, 2014, I went to court against Coming Attractions Theaters. Margie thought this would last around 10 minutes, but I was in court for almost an hour. I showed up with a very detailed file for both the judge and the defendant. The file included more than 5 years' worth of letters and email contacts, examples of case history with respect to accessibility in theaters across the country, California Civil Code Section 5.1.F, and other relevant documents. Coming Attractions did not send their lawyers, but sent the new COO and their digital manager. These two people did not know about all of the history between myself, the HCB, and their employer. They made several misleading comments during the hearing, and I was always prepared to rebut their misguided claims. The judge had no idea what audio narration was, and it took a bit of explaining. He said he would make his decision in 2 weeks. I left the court feeling very positive about the experience. Page 34. I may have missed my calling, but it is never too late to redirect my life, so I have learned several times over now. I promised to take legal action, and I also promised to promote and market the accommodations locally once installed. I always keep my promises. So the next day, I called the theater manager in Eureka because the local news station wanted to do a piece on the new accommodations. They wanted to film the piece in the theater and show how the new devices work. The theater manager said he would need to get authorization from the home office in Ashland. The following day, I received a call from the manager stating that they were on board with the news piece and having it filmed in the theater. They also invited us to come before the theater opened so they could run a film, show off the devices, and have the film crew conduct the interview right in the theater that had the accommodations installed. My wife Patty and I went there on the Friday morning, and the piece ran on our local news broadcast that same night at 5, 6, and 11 p.m. I posted the information on my personal Facebook page, the HCB page, and on other Facebook pages for which I am an admin. Yes, Facebook is the best way to communicate to a large audience today. The local response was phenomenal. The word definitely got around. I was pleased to find out that the piece was then picked up by NBC News affiliates in the San Francisco Bay Area. Page 35. I was contacted by several friends over the following weekend, mostly through Facebook, who live between Santa Rosa to San Jose. They all told me they were watching their local news and saw the piece. I called the local TV station, we only have one, and asked them how the piece got out of the area. They told me that they are contacted daily by NBC affiliates and that, if interested, they can take any news piece and run it in other markets. This was very exciting. Then a week later, I was contacted by Lainey Feingold. She sent me a congratulatory email, which contained a link to the same news piece that was seen on two different TV stations in the Portland, Oregon area. This came out of the blue, and again, we were all very excited about the mobility this news piece has gained on its own. So while it was a small step in accessibility locally, we are all very happy up here that we can now go to the movies independently and do have a voice in which films we can enjoy. Of course, having the accommodations installed on all screens in all theaters is our ultimate goal, but this is a very important step. Now I don't have to wait to travel out of town to go to the movies. Not that going out of town guarantees me that audio narration is available. I also don't have to wait for the DVD release and hope that the audio narration makes it onto said DVD. We sent a letter to the president of New Line Cinemas last year due to the fact that The Hobbit did not offer audio narration on the DVD release. We received no response. We just watched Gravity on DVD, and even without audio narration on the DVD, no thanks to Warner Brothers. It was an incredible film. We recently distributed the address of the president of Warner Brothers via our various Facebook outlets. Several people said they would write letters of support. I only wish I could have caught Gravity in the theaters.